Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and I promise you I'll be short. Amen. I'm 5'6" and I don't have any other options, so. But I won't be long either. Amen. Wait a minute. Yeah, I can see the clock. Might be the last time I look at it, but I can see it. I was in a church not too long ago, and they had one of these big displays about the size of that back there. And it was these nice pictures and all that. As soon as I got and said, turn in your Bibles, that all turned to one big clock. I said, what are you trying to tell me? You know, I told them they might as well put a calendar up there as far as I was concerned. I got 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We'll get to that in just a minute. I want to just give a short message, and I promise you I won't be long, but it's a message about missions giving. And I know that makes you nervous. There's a little story that goes along with this. There was a man down in West Virginia, his name was Bill. And Bill had had some major health issues, had had a heart attack and several other things. And he was in the hospital, and the doctors called all of his family in and got them all in there. And he said, look, we think Bill's going to be fine, but he needs a week or two to just relax. If you've got any family issues, keep him at home. Don't bring him in here. If you talk to Bill, be uplifting, but don't get him going. We don't want to raise his blood pressure. We want him to just have a couple weeks of calmness and let his body heal. No problem. That went on for a couple days, and then they found out Bill's uncle passed away and left him $1 million. And they thought, now how are we going to tell Bill that somebody just left him $1 million without his blood pressure going high? You know what I'm saying? I don't know about yours, mine starts climbing just thinking about that, amen? I could spend that in about 15 minutes in Mongolia, you know? But anyways, back to the story. So as they were thinking about this, they come up with a great idea. They said, we're going to let the pastor tell him. So they called the pastor and asked him, told him the situation. He said, sure, I'll go talk to him. So the pastor went in and he's sitting there talking to Bill. And as he's talking to him, something just came to his mind. He said, Bill, what would you do if somebody gave you $1 million? And this quick, Bill said, oh, no problems. The first thing I do is give half of it to the church. Pastor grabbed his heart and fell over with a heart attack. Amen. The moral of that is don't panic because the missionary is going to talk about missionary money and the pastor is going to pay for the rest of you. Amen. You know, across the street, across the state, or across the sea, every lost sinner is a mission field. Every saint is a missionary. Either you are a missionary or you need a missionary. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll just settle our hearts and our minds for just a few minutes. And Lord, I pray you'll help me to be clear, and I pray that you'll speak through me. In thy name we pray, amen. Missions giving, what is it? I think you probably already know all these answers. I'm probably not going to tell you anything you don't already know. We're just going to rehearse it one more time, amen? Missions giving is a biblical means of supporting missionaries through the local church. That's all it is. That's what it is. It's a biblical means. It does not come out of your resources, but only out of God's riches. I wish I could put that in big, bold letters. I wish I could spend about 3 hours explaining that because it's very true. God will give you your missions offering. It is not according to your ability to give, but according to your ability to trust God to supply it. Missions giving is a mean whereby each individual in the church can make a promise to God that he or she will give a missionary offering on a weekly or monthly basis to missionaries. That's what missions giving is. I want to read you a couple verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. If you're there, we're going to read 10, 11, and 12, okay? And herein I give my advice. Now, if I could just stop there for a second, if God or the Apostle Paul is going to give their advice, I think we ought to listen. How many of you remember the old commercial, when E.F. Hutton speaks, people listen. When God speaks, we ought to listen, especially when he says, herein I give my advice. Okay, he's got my attention. Here's his advice. For this is expedient for you, who having begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is acceptable according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. This is talking about the missions offering here. And there's a whole lot of things in there, though. One of them I really like is first a willing mind. If you want to give to missions, you can. If you don't want to, you don't have to. God's not going to hit you over the head and say, you got to do this. He's giving you an opportunity. That's what he's doing. And this one here, they displayed a giving in two ways that the church at Corinth did to the missionary here. They did it in two ways. First, they gave him an offering immediately. When this missionary showed up with his need, they gave him an offering. And then they did something that was great. Secondly, they promised to do exactly the same thing in 1 year. Now, that's what we do here in the States, our missions giving. We give the missionary an offering, and then as you take him on for support, you start sending it to him on a monthly basis. Now, why monthly? They did it yearly because everything they did in this day and age revolved around a year. Everything we do revolves around a month. House payments, car payments, utility payments, you name it. It's on a monthly basis. In this day and age, it was on a yearly basis. So we're doing exactly the same thing. We're just rotating on our monetary giving and not theirs. Okay, theirs was on a yearly, ours is on a monthly. Missions giving, listen to this carefully, is not a pledge you make to the church or to a person. It's a commitment that you make to God, simply committing that as God enables you, you will give an amount for the missionary outreach of your church. That's what missions giving is. You're not making a pledge to the church. They're not going to ask you. Do you know that they don't have a missions police here? I don't think, do you? Okay, just thought I'd ask before I'd say that. I've never heard of a church having one, but who knows? You know, they're not going to show up at your doorstep and say, you know, you didn't give your mission giving last week. That's not going to happen. That's never going to happen. They're not going to say, fill this card out and put your name and address and phone number up. That's not going to happen. It's between you and God. It's personal. Do you know your salvation is personal? So is your missions giving. It's personal. It's between you and God. Missions giving was very clearly explained in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. If you'll turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, here's what it says. Now listen, this is talking about the missions money. I love this. Every man, according as a purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. There's five things I want to show you in there real quickly, and we'll move on to the next thing. First thing is we find out it's a personal giving. It says every man. Now, ladies, that's including you too, every mankind, all right? So we'll put you in there too. It's for each and every person. Now, I'm a little strange. I believe it's for a husband and it's for a wife. Now, I don't care if the husband and wife give their money together, but I think that you ought to pray separately and find out what God wants you to do. Now, if you want to put it together and give it, that is absolutely fine with me. I don't think the church would have an issue with that, amen? But I believe it's a personal thing, just like salvation. I did not get saved for my wife. She did not get saved for me. It's an individual thing. It's a personal giving. It's a planned giving according as he purposed in his heart. There's no set amount. You get to set the amount. Isn't that amazing? You know, I always thought as a kid, it'd be really great if my dad would let me set my allowance. God lets us do that. He lets us set the amount. Isn't that wonderful? God lets us set the amount. You determine how much you're going to give to God. It's a persistent giving, so let him give. Now, if you make a commitment to God, can I give you some advice? Do it. He ain't going to forget about it. You know, he doesn't forget. Did you know God's never forgot anything? And he's not going to forget what you promised to him. So if you make a promise to God to give something, give it. And then it says, it's a positive giving, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth the cheerful giving. Listen, if you can't give a missions offering with a smile on your face, don't give it. Don't do it. Don't do it. God said, I don't want it. You know, God doesn't need your money. Did you know that? You need his blessings more than he needs your money. That's what this is all about. If you can't do it with a smile and be happy about it, don't do it. It's that simple. And then look at the last one. I love this. The fifth thing. It's a proving giving. We give by faith, so we allow God to prove. That. It says, God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Or if you look over 2 Corinthians 8, verse 8, it says, to prove the sincerity of your love. That's talking about the missions given. To prove the sincerity of your love. How much do you love God? $5 a week or $500 a week? $5,000 a week? I don't know. You have to decide that. Now, by the way, brings up a quick subject, just a little side note here. The Bible, as we looked at before, it says, according that you have. Can I make this real simple? If you make $500 a week, you're not going to give $600 a week to missions, because it comes out of what you have. Amen? So don't say, Lord, I'm going to give you $2,000 a week. I don't make no money, but I'm going to give you That's not how it works. God's very clear that it comes out of what you have. If you don't have nothing, God obviously doesn't expect nothing. All right? So here he is. He wants you to be cheerful. And he says, I will make what you have sufficient, all sufficient for all things. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Well, how in the world are we going to reach the world? What's the name of this town? Baysville? Did I say that right? How are we going to reach, you know, this isn't exactly a hotbed for missions. You know what I'm saying? How are we going to reach the world from Baysville, Ohio? I mean, is it even possible? Well, I can tell you it is possible. But let me tell you this story. And this is a true story. You can look it up yourself when you get home. Back in the late 1800s, there was a company that opened down in the Atlanta, Georgia area. Just a couple people. They made soda fountains. They made soda. And they struggled with it for several years, weren't doing too good at it, considering closing it down. But instead of closing it down, in the year 1900, at the turn of the century, they decided, let's try something new this year. And they decided they were going to bottle pop, soft drinks. Now, it had to be done by hand. It was tedious. It was slow. It was amazingly, the best they could do was 9 bottles a day. That was it. That was the most they could do in a day. They sold each bottle for a penny and a half. At the end of the year, they made a grand total of $50. Whew, there's a company destined for bankruptcy. I mean, they're not going anywhere quickly. That company today is worth in excess of $400 billion. They boast that 99% of the world has tasted their product. They produce in excess of 2 billion bottles of pop a day. Round the clock, they never shut down. Of course, that company is Coca-Cola. You can't go anywhere in this world. Coca-Cola's not already been there. I've been to the top of the Mayung volcano in the Philippines, where you have to walk to get up there. Got up there, there's a Coca-Cola stand up there. I'm like, and it's cold. How in the world did that get up here? I got stuck in the Gobi Desert. We broke down. The rock took the oil pan off our van, and there we're broke. You know what's in the distance? A Coca-Cola billboard. In the Gobi Desert. What's it doing there? I don't know. You can go anywhere in the world. All you got to do is know 2 words. Baños, Coca-Cola. You will not starve and you'll find a bathroom. What more you want? You know what I mean? But here's Coca-Cola. They have done the Great Commission, unfortunately, with the wrong product. You want me to tell you what's real interesting? In 1900, their office was a garage. And on the wall of that garage, here's what it said. Think globally, act locally. Do everything I can here to get people to drink Coca-Cola, and do everything I can to get it around the world. They did it quite successfully, I think. I think they did a fantastic job of it. Well, how does that help us, both here and there? How can we do this? You know, I said this in one church, and a guy came up to me afterwards. He said, I got it all figured out. We're going to do like they did the Apostle Paul and Peter and all them, and we're going to go out and we're going to see 3,000 people saved and baptized in one day. I thought, yeah, pretty good idea. Until I went home and started doing the math. I like math, by the way. I'm not too good at English, but I can do math, amen. So I went home and did the math. If you win 3,000 people to the Lord every year, it'll only take you 2,333,333 years to reach the world. And that's not including deaths or births. I don't think that's going to work. And then I got thinking about that. I said, well, maybe we'll do it every month. It'll still take 194,445 years to reach the world. Okay, let's do one every week. Maybe we can figure out how to do this every week. It will take 44,871 years to reach the world. And then if we really, really, really work at it and coordinate with other churches all around the world, and we see a campaign every day seeing 3,000 people saved, it will take 6,410 years to reach the world. Well, now, when you stop and consider that this world is barely 6,000 years old, we're going backwards, not forwards. That's not even considering births and deaths. That's just straight out people. And so I got thinking about it. How are we going to win this world? It sounds pretty depressing, doesn't it? It sounds like we can't do it. Well, that's not true. You know how we reach the world? Win one soul to the Lord Jesus Christ this year. Just one, not 3,000. Just win one. And then teach that one to do the same thing, disciple him. John 15, verse 16 says, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit." I love that verse. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. God said, "I chose you." Now, don't get the big head. He chose everybody. You just happen to be the one sitting here and accepted it. Amen? So don't get the big head that I'm better than you are. You're not. You're the same as all the rest of us. But God chose you. And then he said, "I ordained you." Do you know what it means to be ordained? Have you been ordained? Yeah, so he knows. They get you up here and they grill you, ask you all these questions. And then at the end of that, they either say, "We're going to approve you or not approve you." Did you get approved, by the way? I just thought I might be. Amen, me too. Now, what that means is he's equipped and ready to do the job. That's what it means to be ordained. Now, God says, "You've not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you." That means God said, "I've equipped you and you're ready to do the job." I used to teach teenagers for years. And they'd say, "I could never do that." Whoa, 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 whoa. God said you can. So either you're lying or God's lying. And it ain't God. He said, "You're ready to do the job. You've not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you," what? To go. Oh, that's a great word. Go. He didn't approve you to sit and do nothing. There is no place in the Bible, and by the way, I've looked, there is no place in the Bible that says, sit, do nothing, end of the story. It's not there. Go is all the way through the Bible. Now, I'm not talking about going to Mongolia or Russia or China or Pakistan or wherever. It might just be across the aisle. It might just be down to the store. It might be to your next door neighbor. It might be to one of your family members. That's what I'm talking about. Go. I don't care who you go to. You can't go to the wrong person. Just go. "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go," what? "And bring forth fruit." Hey, how many of you know what the fruit of a Christian is? It's another Christian, isn't it? It's okay. You can talk back to me. My wife does it all the time. You can do it. It's the fruit of another Christian. Amen? We're supposed to be soul winners. "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit." And then it says, "and that your fruit should remain." You know what that means? Discipleship. Oh, didn't get too many smiles there. You know, when you win someone to the Lord, you know whose job it is to raise them? Disciple them? Yours. We found out, we have 9 children, by the way. You go to the hospital and have a baby. When you get ready to leave the hospital, here's what happens. They make you take that baby with you. Amen? Amen. You know why? It's your baby. Not theirs. It's yours. Same way it is in soul winning. You win someone to the Lord, that's your baby. Well, I don't know how to raise them. How many of you have children? How many of you knew what you're doing when you had your first child? Or your second, your third, your fourth? We don't know what we're doing. We're guessing as we go. Make up the rules as you go. Amen? Do you think discipleship's any difference? I don't know how to do that. Figure it out. Well, what's the pastor for? Not to raise your kids? That's your job. Well, now, okay. Now that you went through all that, I don't want to do that. Well, that is your prerogative, but let's read the whole verse before you make that decision. "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask in my name, he may give it you." Do you want your prayers answered? God's saying, if you'll do what I ask you to do and be the soul winner I want you to be, I'll answer your prayers. Well, I'm all right now. I don't need anything. That could change in the next 5 minutes. We've seen that happen in our family in the last year and a half. That can change quickly. I don't know about you, but I need God on my side. Or let me rephrase it. I need to be on God's side. Amen? Well, if I just win one and disciple one, here's how it goes. In 5 years, you have 16 people. Well, I ain't that many. Well, hang with me. It gets better. In 10 years, there's 512 people. In 15 years, there's 16,382 people. In 20 years, there's 524,288. In 25 years, there's 16,777,216. In 30 years, there's 536,000. 870,912 people, and in 35 years, the entire world are Christians. And that includes deaths and births, by the way. That's thrown in there too. That's how you win them. Stop trying to win the whole world and win one person to Christ and disciple that person to do the same thing. That's all we need to do. See, that's what missions giving is all about, is giving so that it can be done over there, and now it's your turn to do it here. Just like the old Coca-Cola. Think locally, or think globally, and act locally. Amen? I appreciate your time. Pastor, I'll turn it back over to you.